The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Everything that guy just said is bullshit. Thank you.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone. It is 4 a.m., and that means it's time once again for the 4 a.m. podcast. That's where me and a bunch of my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to today. I will be your court-appointed host for this, Tony. Joined with me, as always, is...
Brian.
The Honorable Judge Joe.
Puddinhead Wilson.
Okay. It is a comedy trial of errors. It's Truth, Justice, and the Gambini Way. That's right. Today we are reviewing My Cousin Vinny from 1992.
New York City!
Yeah.
The two Utes.
This is directed by Jonathan Lynn, who also directed Clue, Sergeant Bilko, Trial and Error, and A Whole Nine Yards. The Whole Nine Yards, I'm sorry.
Trial and Error.
Yeah, that's...
He's double-dipping on these trial movies?
Oh, yeah. Well, he is a, official... Well, I don't know if he passed the bar, but, like, he knows about court stuff.
He knows about
which
things.
Which 9 yards did he...
1997.
Okay.
And apparently is in works for writing up Clue for 2016.
Why did they gotta go remake that?
Contemporary?
You know, it's almost... 3/4 of the way through 2016.
It's what IMDb tells me. I don't know.
Okay. Just gonna eat my
Maybe pudding. It's in the works. Maybe it's half done. Maybe it's going to be shelved. I can't tell you, but...
Can we get like a different board game? Get a movie? Like 13?
There's actually a lot of board games getting movies. Joe, you haven't seen Hasbro's portfolio.
What we got going?
Well, we already got Battleship.
Yeah, and saw well that went.
We're getting Monopoly. Trouble? I believe we're getting Trouble.
I just made that up. Wow.
Sorry, Life.
Probably Chutes and Ladders.
Operation.
Yeah. Connect Four, the movie.
All very abstract games that are hard to have a plot about.
I'm sure Candyland will actually be one. I think it is, isn't it?
Don't you worry.
Wasn't that Wreck-It Ralph?
Sort of.
Yeah.
But speaking of movies that got shelved, there was a proposed sequel to this.
Really?
There sure was, but Marissa Tomei opted out for some reason.
I couldn't she already got bless her heart. Oscar.
Yeah. As I mentioned, he has what is? Marissa Tomei won a Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress. Sorry,
she wore a penis to the event.
The director of this movie has had some teachings in the law, and as a result, this movie is actually, believe it or not, held as one of the number three on the 25 greatest legal movies by the American Bar Association.
Really?
What are the first two? Pelican Brief?
That I'm not sure.
And A Few Good Men?
Maybe Kill a Mockingbird?
It's very possible.
The Verdict?
The previously mentioned bit about the two Utes was actually something that was added in later when they actually could not understand what Pesci was saying. There was some question over it, and they just decided to throw that in the movie. And Joe Pesci, though not getting into a sequel to this movie, did reprise his role in 1998 when he made the album based on this character called Vincent LaGuardia Gambini Sings Just For You, which contained the lead song Yo Cousin Vinny.
Wait, that's
Are
a
you
real
making
thing.
That up?
That's a real thing.
I'm Amazoning right
yeah.
now.
Wow.
If it's under...
You read on that maroon-crusted suit that he wore in this for the cover art and everything.
Oh, my goodness. Pops up. Oh, my God.
It's $10. Oh, wait, no. The actual physical CD is $2.28.
That sounds more like it. I have that shipped here. Can you get that into
I don't,
the podcast?
I don't know if it's...
It's not Amazon Prime.
I don't think it's Prime.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, where does it come from?
Wait. Should we read some 5-star customer reviews?
Oh, please do.
Yeah. I gotta hear this.
All right, let's see. 5 stars. Explicit. 70% 5 stars, first of all. Can I just say? You know what? None of these are funny.
Okay.
Apparently Joe Pesci can actually sing pretty well, and that's what these are all saying. It's like, it's all kind of like lounge music that he's singing.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, we bought this thinking it would be a joke. Turns out it's pretty cool.
Yeah, basically. That's all what right. they say. Good. So friend. There you go.
Yeah. Although still, I have to point out, a good 6 years later, to drop his album based on this movie. But that is a brief history of this movie. What is your personal history on this?
Wait, I will say, there are three versions of Yo, Cousin Vinny on this album. The regular version, one in Italian, and one in Spanish. And then Take Your Love and Shove It is song number three. So, you were saying...
I was asking what your personal history is with this movie, Rob.
I've seen this a bunch of times. Mostly with my parents, I think, on VHS or TV.
Yeah, I think it was the same here. There was something we rented from Blockbuster or Tommy K's once in a while.
Yeah, I remember liking this as a kid.
Yeah, enjoyable movie.
Enjoy my pudding sounds.
Brian.
I used to watch this when it would come on TV. I think USA played it all the time. I think
USA or TBS. Yeah, it's probably USA. Comedy
Central yeah. too. I loved watching as a kid. I thought it was hilarious. And also, I love Marissa Tomei. Like,
who doesn't?
Yeah. So any scene she was in, I loved. So
Joe,
it's the same as those two. I've seen it a bunch of times on TV. It's always a good time.
Yeah. It's like Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
So except for in that one outfit. So what do you think was the budget for this movie?
See, they could have made this cheap.
Yeah.
12 mil. That's my guess.
I'm going to go $15 million.
So that's why I was thinking 15 as well. I'll go, so 15 I'm going to lowball. I'll do 10.
Good plan. It was $11 million.
Ha!
And how much did it make?
That's a good question.
$50 million.
Say 45.
Oh, it's $60 million.
It's $53 million.
Well played, Brian.
So, yeah, Brian won. Good job, dude. All right, so let's get into this with the cast list.
Okay, so we got this guy, Joe Pesci. I don't know who he is, playing the titular character of Vinnie Gambini. I mean, it's just Joe Pesci being awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that's... You don't really need to say
Joe Pesci just had to do his Joe Pesci thing. Yeah. So.
He just decided to use logical arguments rather than just stab you with a pencil.
Funny? Like a clown?
Yeah.
I would have accepted either in this scenario.
Yeah. Probably the least violent you'll see Joe Pesci, but he still like tiger uppercuts a guy right in the face.
He doesn't even do that. He like launches throws his body at this dude.
Yeah.
He also does get in this one guy's face later too, but
all right, you get Karate Kid Ralph Macchio as Bill Gambini. You know, he's standard damsel in distress.
He
really didn't have much to do, so he was fine.
He was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marissa Tomei. This was, I think, my first exposure to Marissa Tomei.
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah,
bursting on the scene with this. And just being amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And her chemistry with Joe Pesci, it's like still some of the best on-screen like chemistry in a couple.
So we're saying she deserved the Oscar? Because wasn't that like a matter of contention or something?
Yeah, well, people there was a rumor that the wrong name was said and that she actually won by mistake.
Wasn't this her first movie?
I don't honestly remember.
I thought she was like a no-name before she was in this, but I could be totally wrong. She wasn't
well-known before this, I know that.
If you're listening at home, just write in and let us know what the score is. But
please?
Yeah, no, I thought she was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I think, as Joe stated, the chemistry between them was really good. I actually bought them as a couple, despite the fact that there's clearly like 20 years.
No, it happens. It happens.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like... Look, it happens a lot in movies, and a lot of times I'm like, bullshit. They do not seem like a couple.
Vinny Gambini could talk his way into anything. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Including she was like, no, I'm not going to be with you. Next thing you know, she's like, how did I get here?
I'm sorry, but not to jump ahead on other things, but in Green Lantern, that seemed more like Ryan Reynolds was babysitting her than dating her, and they were actually married at the time, so it goes a long way for her to pull this off.
Mm. So the next person, I'm not sure if this is a case of bad actor or bad character, but Mitchell Whitfield as Stan Rothenstein was probably like the only part of this movie I didn't really like.
Oh, he was the other like, guy.
Eh, the whole time. Granted, I mean, he was on trial for accessory to murder, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't really, like, he could have not been in the movie,
yeah,
and it wouldn't really matter that much.
Yep.
Well, yeah, he was basically just someone there to have more doubt in Vinny's abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if Ralph did that too much, it could have ended this very quickly.
Yeah, I think it's just Ralph Macchio needed somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To kind of exposition some stuff.
Right.
You have Herman Munster himself, Fred Gwynne, as Judge Chamberlain Miller.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
And sadly, in his last performance.
But what a good way to go out.
Yeah. Sometimes dead is better.
Yeah.
I will always love him for that.
You got Lane Smith, who, as far as I could tell, is always the same, like good old Southern boy lawyer.
Yeah.
As Jim Trotter III. Because I've seen him in several movies playing a character like this.
Yeah, he's always something of this type, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Maybe he might be like a businessman or something. Yeah. It's always that guy that's trying to convince you something.
Yeah, he might even be the detective or like a newsman.
Identical.
Yeah. He's always a jerk.
Doing his weird hand symbols.
Exactly the same.
You got Austin Pendleton as a public defender, John Gibbons. He was in it for a few
seconds. For a second.
Yeah.
I'm really...
Also playing the same character.
Yeah, 11 person, probably the sheriff. Like,
yeah. That is the last person on the list.
I think we've covered anybody
that... And that sheriff is always that sheriff.
Yep. Yeah.
Just a quick shout out to the return of James Ribhorn, who showed up in here, just to be kind of a jerk again. Although, actually, this is probably one of his better performances.
That's the Secretary of Defense in Independence Day, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, here is a decent guy.
No, he was still a jerk.
Huh?
He was still a jerk.
No, he wasn't. He was telling the truth.
He was just doing his job.
Yeah. But, I mean, he was in, like, a jerky position relative to, like, how you want the plot to progress.
Yeah, he's on the side of the jerk, but he was just kind of doing his job. Whereas in everything else he's played, he's usually like a complete asshole.
Mm-hmm. When Vinny was talking to him on the stand the first time around, he treated Vinny like a jerk.
Oh, yeah. Well, Vinny was kind of a joke at the time.
Like, this like lawyer and idiot, so I'm going to make you look stupid when I'm on the stand.
Well, he was wearing a clown costume at the time, wasn't he?
No.
Did he look like a clown to you, Rump?
Yeah, for like a lot of this to make you movie. Laugh? Yes.
Like,
it's a comedy, yes.
Like,
for your amusement?
Yeah, I laughed a couple of times. So did you.
Not to throw my body at you.
Please don't.
Sharon might fight me. I don't know.
All right. So, yeah, we'll just hop on in here. We're tooling down a country road.
Alabama.
Blasting some southern rock.
Oh, yeah. And our sweet ride and our college books, they took great time to show you for some reason.
To our listeners in Alabama, apologies in advance for any shade thrown. That's all.
In other words, Rob's about to dump on you hardcore.
No, not at all.
Brace for impact.
Not at all.
But, they pull over at the Suds and Spuds?
Sack of Suds.
Sack of Spuds. Is it Sack of Suds?
Sack of Suds.
Yeah. Which apparently is a real place and is still there. Or at least
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. As of the last... I mean,
it looks like it had been there forever.
There's one on every corner. It's like Starbucks down there.
Our two main characters here, Ralph Macchio and his buddy, are just looking to pick up some canned goods so they can have something to eat while they get on the road.
All right, shopping pro tip. Always get the basket.
Yep.
Always get the basket. That's this good. Whole thing would have been avoided if he just picked up a basket. I'm not sure if they were available, but if they are.
Well, I don't know that the whole thing would have been avoided.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have stolen the tuna fish.
Right, but that wasn't the catalyst for everything.
Well, but he wouldn't have confessed.
It kind of was, yeah. He confessed because he believed he'd committed a crime, which he would not have thought.
Right, that is fair. Mm-hmm.
But, also, pro tip, no matter where you are, what you're doing, if you're shopping, don't put things in your pocket. It's just dumb.
Just don't.
It's just...
Yep.
That will immediately get someone on your ass nowadays.
If you are in a shopping area, you do not put products in your pocket.
Where I work, that will get you beaten up.
anything you'd like to add here, Joe?
Nope, no, he would not.
I cannot elaborate further.
So, but yeah, as stated, Ralph Macchio throws a can of tuna in his pocket because his hands are full.
So, yeah, I don't understand. So, okay, by the books and stuff that they focus on in the car, they're going to college or they're leaving college.
No, as he stated, they're on their way to college. They thought they would do the drive down because it wouldn't be so bad.
Okay, so where are they going to college?
UCLA.
UCLA. All right. Why are they picking up all these canned goods in the middle of nowhere?
They need something to eat.
Okay, they're just buying cans of beans to eat on the road. They're just going to pop them in the car and
maybe
I don't chug know. Them like road sodas.
Well, I mean, a can of beans, you just have to heat it up. Yeah. Like, you can put it on a fire.
Yeah.
And heat it up. So, like,
they could very well be like, it, rather than going to hotels, they could be camping out somewhere. We don't know what's in their trunk.
Yeah. I guess.
Sure. And they were arguing over pennies. So they're trying to say every penny possible. Mm-hmm. You know, 31 cents versus 32 cents. They were like,
well, I think that's just because of the other guy in the Steinstein or whatever his name was. The Jewish community. I just want to take this time.
Apologize to Alabama too quickly.
Yeah.
Forgot to apologize to the
people. I liked that setup where he makes us think we're going to the South first with the shade. But then, bam, there's Jews.
That's my 1-2.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gone.
Yeah.
My quick step.
Got staggered now. Like,
Shows off the right, hits you with the left. But, they walk out without paying for a can of tuna that he had in his pocket. So when they get pulled over, they think it's all about the tuna fish, but the cop immediately draws a gun on him.
Like, immediately.
Yeah, there is no due process whatsoever going on here.
Which would have stopped the whole movie if they had just done the proper procedure when arresting someone.
Correct.
Pulling a gun might have been proper procedure because if they're suspected of murder, I mean, like,
and there aren't, you know,
yeah.
But that, no, but being like when they got arrested, you tell them what they're being arrested for, and he'd have been like, I didn't kill anyone, I had a can of tuna,
I took this.
They didn't tell him until like,
yeah, it's crazy. Like, it was this whole like kind of cat and mouse charades game. Like, do you know what you're here for? Yeah, okay, I did it.
I did the thing.
Oh,
then why did you do the thing? Well, because there was a mistake. Like, oh, you think that's just a mistake?
Yes, I'm serious guilty. Crime. Like, I'm guilty of the crime that I committed.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to spend, I'm guessing, hours in the station.
Right, yeah.
Talking to people.
They were in the police car.
Yeah,
like, on the way down to get
so, like, two no
separate
one...
people being interviewed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no one actually said anything about a murder.
Hey, you're under arrest
Where's
for
the
murder.
Gun? Yeah. Or, yeah. You know.
You'd think they would just be charged right away.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The process.
Yeah.
I know you have 24 hours, but I would think with something like that, they would just be like, right when they get you there.
You are under arrest for blank.
Yeah.
These are your rights.
Blank. But that would ruin our movie, so that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So after a big misunderstanding, he's about to sign some confession when he finds out it's not for stealing the tuna. It's actually for shooting the clerk. And suddenly they get their phone call, and he's looking for a lawyer. And who does he find?
Ghostbusters.
Cousin Vinny. And Ghostbusters.
Like, this movie does a couple things. Well, all right. So the language barrier in this movie, or the cultural barrier in this movie.
You can use language barrier.
It stands out because, like, when the guy said, why do you shoot the clerk? He's like, I shoot the clerk, because he's, like, from New York. You know, you kind of...
No, but there was obvious inflection in his voice that he was asking a question. Like, he was repeating it back.
But the cop only heard him say, I should talk to the clerk. And so that's all he wrote down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then in the trial, they use it as an actual confession.
Because he chose to.
Yeah, but like...
He's a shitty cop for this.
That's and the judge, sure. throughout the trial, too, was like not trying to hold someone not from the area to the standard of the area. To the point where, like, he made it legally, like, you need to be this in it, which doesn't really work like that, but, you know. But anyway, when that comes up again, I'll be mad about that then, too.
Tony, why you give that M&M the hairy eyeball?
Because where did it come from? How long has it been sitting around here?
Well, we had him, what, last week?
So, a month.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm no, it was
sure
last
that,
week.
Yeah, making sure that M&M.
I thought it was for the Independence Day.
I wasn't sure.
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
Yes.
I got that. I got those for Erica. What was last week? I don't know. It's chocolate covered in hard sugar. What do you
put in your mouth? Shut up.
I got those for the episode.
Put it in your mouth. Shut up.
Put it in your mouth.
Your motherfucking mouth.
All right. New Fat Chat theme song right there.
You guys still need to name our turtle, by the way. We haven't come to a
contest. Is still going on.
We have not come to a decision on that contest yet.
All right.
We haven't.
We haven't. That is correct. That is technically correct.
It's about that movie.
Yep.
Speaking of language barriers.
Awesome movie, yes.
New York City.
So, he calls in his cousin Vinny, who...
But it's at this point, Brian stated, I don't like this movie anymore.
Why is that?
Yes, indeed.
That was because of
the shenanigans.
The process thereof. Yeah. Like, legit, they would have not...
So don't, you know, just like a jury, don't let you, the audience, let that cloud your judgment on what our final say will be at the end of the podcast. That's all. Strike it from the record of your memories.
Thank you for introducing evidence that you then want stricken from the record.
Everything that guy said is bullshit.
That's what I was fishing for.
So, Vinny shows up trying to blend in his cowboy boots.
Mm.
Doing a wonderful job.
Yeah, they pull into town in his car.
Convertible.
Whatever convertible. It's like nothing but convertibles in this movie.
Yeah.
It's a convertible-heavy film.
Well, it is a hot, hot area. So, convertibles are probably good to have.
Or air conditioning.
But we first get our little taste that Mr. Tomei is really familiar with cars.
And attractive.
And attractive. Mm-hmm. She pops out and starts complaining about, the alignment being off balance, I believe it was, which we're told is because they have mud in their tires.
Yep. It's a thing.
Yeah.
I've experienced it. It's great.
What was this? Never mind.
I'm leaving this.
Never mind.
Well, yeah, I believe at this point we also had another complaint about this movie because... I believe Texas hats do not belong in Alabama.
Yeah, okay. So this guy is, I don't know, they're having this back and forth with this dude about the mud in the tires. This guy's in Alabama. I know this was filmed in Georgia now, but whatever. My statement holds. This guy's wearing a freaking Stetson cowboy hat with the state of Texas, like in the hat as a decoration. You're not wearing that in Alabama.
That's a good point. If it has Texas on it, I can't imagine too many people would be cool with that.
Unless you're a Texan and you're just wearing it to wave your big Texas dick around.
Yeah, if you're from Texas, you don't give a fuck.
Well, that's true. If you are from Texas, yeah.
But he was totally a local, though.
Well, that doesn't mean that he was born and bred there.
But he wouldn't still be. If he was integrated into that society, he would have lost the Texas hat.
You can take the man out of Texas. You can't take Texas out the man.
He would have gotten himself a
I would argue...
Don't mess with Texas, Rob.
If you had Alabama on your hat and moved to Texas, you'd lose that.
You'd die. You'd be lynched as soon as you hit the state border.
But if you have Texas on your hat and you move to Alabama, you're probably like, fuck you, it's Texas.
I don't know.
Don't mess with Texas, Rob. Don't mess with Texas.
I don't know. It depends on how long you're
there. Don't tread on me.
Wow.
You know, I'm just saying he should have traded it in for an Alabama.
Why do you hate Texas, Rob?
They wear.
Remember the Alamo, Rob.
I don't hate Texas.
Can I weigh in on this?
Please.
Can I weigh in on this?
Yes.
That didn't even sound right.
That's all I have to say about that argument. Can we get back to talking about the movie, please?
Guys, I'm starting another contest. I want our listeners to name the baby elephant that Joe is snuffing.
That didn't sound like an elephant.
It sounded like you need to clean yourself.
That was a dry one.
It's probably about as dry as they come.
Jesus. Tony's in pain now.
Yeah, well, I'm laughing and I'm smelling it.
It is a bit sweaty.
Jesus.
It is, it's crisp.
All right, one, so for sure. Where are we?
Look, so we get to where they meet for the first time.
Yeah, Vinny Gambini goes in to meet the judge.
I think this is cut out on TV because I don't remember ever seeing this scene before. Oh wait, no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the part where he meets Stan Rothstein.
Well, that's what I was thought we were yeah. talking about when he yeah. meets the kids.
Yeah, that's yeah. the next scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's we go to that first?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So yeah, he goes into the jail cell, and yeah, chances are if you're watching this on TV, they probably cut it out because he drops the F-bomb like 30 times.
Dude, the F-bomb is in this movie so much.
Like yeah, a lot.
I did not remember that.
Yeah, because only saw it on TV, so.
But I was sure we had seen it on more than television. Like, I don't know.
You saw it with your parents, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
Would they let you listen to F-bombs when you were a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My parents wouldn't.
If the movie is good enough, my parents
Your parents were there. Taking you to Garbage Pail Kids. I don't know what's going
it
on.
It was my parents. It was like, I think
whoever they left you with.
A friend's parents. A friend and their parents.
Well, your parents left you with bad people. It's still bad. But
so yeah, I mean, maybe it was edited, but I just, that's.
Whew. I understand if you don't remember it, but still, Joe Pesci.
No, I get that, but this is like. This is a comedy. I just wasn't expecting it. It wasn't offensive. I mean, they said it a lot, but
this is also weirdly kind of a dark comedy. Because, like, most of the jokes start coming in a lot more later on in the movie, but, like, towards the front, we're making fun of, like, people frying and stuff.
I mean, it's dark in that, like, the stakes are high, but, yeah. like, they don't stress that. After that first bit of the movie, they don't stress it anymore.
Well,
yeah. Like, that would have legit been my argument. But every time I fought with Marissa Tomei's character, would have been, like, the life of two kids in my hands right now. Like,
yeah.
But they don't mention it that much toward that after the first half of the movie.
But this scene, however, is straight up just one long man rape joke.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
We won't get into it, but we'll move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
it's a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Stan is not quite sure what Vinny is there for.
But, yeah, so now they have a lawyer. He's going to meet with the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Gwynne, who, as we said, does a great job, looking very intimidating, but being kind of friendly at this part, as he's still getting to know him.
He's a southern gentleman, he's a judge, and, you know, that's his job to be official and, you know, professional.
Well, here's where we set up a subplot, too, that, I guess Vinny has only been practicing personal injury law and has never gone to trial.
Correct.
And he kind of lies to the judge and tells him he's been in a lot of cases just to, I guess, sound more impressive.
In fact, he's only passed the bar 6 months ago, I believe.
Six weeks ago.
And it took him six tries to pass the bar.
Six tries. But, I mean, six tries, he still passed. Like, yeah, yeah, whatever.
He
yeah.
still did pass.
But so this is his first trial, but he wants to seem more impressive, so he's kind of talking himself up to the judge, saying how he went to better schools than he did, with better people than he did.
Stop looking at me, now I'm laughing even more. Yeah, no kidding, if you just open it. Stop babying it, Brian, just put it in your mouth.
Fat chat, so put good. It in your mouth.
Put that on a sticker and slap it across your face.
Ooh, I could put that on a sticker.
I used to peel the chocolate off the top of cupcakes. Do that first.
Do it.
That's what I used to do.
Oh, I should do that last, though. Let's save that for last.
A damn way.
Yeah. So, Fred Gwynne, Judge Chamberlain? Judge Reinhold.
He's like, you'll respect the law in my court, or I'll beat the fuck out of you.
Basically.
Yeah, it's like,
pretty in kinder words.
Yeah,
but yeah.
He's like, we're not country bumpkin. You know, you're from New York City.
Well, yeah, you have a more casual way of doing things, but that's not going to fly around here. Which, he does give him fair warning that he's not going to give him any leniency on this. But it is a little harsh, because he just immediately starts cracking in on him about everything. It's like, you know, maybe warn him a little first with some of this. Do a better job with that.
Well, he did. Well, first of all,
he gave him the book. But
he gave him a book of the rules, and he's like, you should read this. This is how we do things here.
But I question how, you know.
I've never heard of you.
Yeah, but I question certain things like, you know, is there actually a dress code there? I know there's manners that require you to dress better. It could
have been in that book. Yeah.
But it could have.
But it's his courtroom. So it's his rules.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying he can't have his own rules, but like if he shows up the first day without anyone telling him, don't wear that, be like, hey, next time, don't wear that.
He did.
Yeah, he did. He warns him right
now. Yeah, but he quickly throws him in contempt.
No, that was for something else.
Being a douche.
That was in the arraignment, right? For not saying guilty or not.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
This is also the next scene we get. We set up the whole running gag about they're not able to get a good night's sleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get a shitty hotel and they try to get some rest, but at the wee hours of the morning, the work whistle goes off and everybody wakes up, including Vinny.
I think the moral of the story is they just need to go to bed earlier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Not 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, like, no courtroom scene. No courts are open, like, in that late. They're not. Yeah. You're not that late at a courtroom.
It's 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, like, the whole rest of that time.
8 to 5, that's it.
Should be doing something.
Oh, yeah.
Is when we learn about grits.
Which come, it's important.
Yeah.
It's important.
Well, first off, I love the menu to this place.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Yeah. Breakfast,
lunch, dinner. Have they, like, mull it over for a while? Like, I'm going to go with breakfast.
Breakfast?
Yeah.
Breakfast. Two of those.
It starts with just one giant scoop of lard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how it tastes. Awesome. You know it's good, man.
That guy was just like fat chat. Yeah. Put it in your mouth.
I was drooling at that point.
Yeah, I was saying we're starting fat chat early. But, yeah, he makes some eggs and grits and bacon, I believe it was.
Yeah, he makes them breakfast.
Yeah. I would have just taken the lard personally. Yeah. You just put that right on my plate.
Put it in my veins.
Jesus.
Oh, God. Just get like an oral syringe squirted in your mouth.
I have one of those. Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's for kitchen use. It's a baster.
Oh, well, I have one of those too.
I thought it was one of the frosting things he used.
Oh, you could use that too.
Yeah.
We learn that grits takes 20 minutes to make.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he sits there for 20 minutes waiting for this thing, which will be important later. But
he already had grits made there, but to start from scratch takes 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Alabamans, write in to our email address and tell us how you make your grits and why. Why grits? What's the appeal?
That's the important question. Why grits?
Yeah.
Why grits?
Yeah. It just doesn't... maybe it's good. I could be wrong because I've never really had it, but it just doesn't sound
It's like good. If you made a cornbread but never baked it.
Yeah, like...
And just like... Yeah, just goopy cornbread. Yeah.
It's dirt cheap to buy and goes a long way.
Those are both fair points.
Fine.
That's all like right. Asking why gruel.
Or why Pop-Tarts.
Or Domino's.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, this is...
The arraignment.
Yeah, so now we get to the arraignment. Basically, Vinny's just kind of sitting there, listening to all this, you know, talk about why they're guilty and so on.
First, he's doing this little monkey see, monkey do with the prosecution. Mm. Like, he's just copying everything.
He's never been... This is his first time in the courtroom, like, ever.
He's probably trying to look professional.
Here's the thing. Like, he went to law school. They didn't go over any of this.
He didn't do any mock trial work.
Apparently not.
Well, actually, they did cover he never had time to actually go watch court.
Right.
They do talk about that.
But, like, you can watch court on TV.
Yeah.
And, like, they mentioned his law school to someone, and they were like, where?
Judge Wapner was on back then. The People's Court was still going.
More than that, this is one of those things where I understand you can get time to just sit and watch some cases or whatever, but, like, you would think at some point in the schooling you would have to go see a trial.
Yeah, you'd think there would be
in the courtroom.
Yeah, you would have to, like, put someone on trial or something.
Maybe it was an online class before online classes. It was that kind of...
Yeah, you know, it was
1992.
Yeah, it was like, you, like, call in once in a while and, like...
were they doing, like...
Yeah, I read this.
Classrooms by snail mail.
It was like Idiocracy. He bought his law degree at Costco.
Yeah.
He's doing all his courses between AOL free trial discs. Yeah.
Is that on the list? Idiocracy should be.
No.
So, yeah.
I can talk about that movie for a while.
Anyway. Everybody's going on about why isn't he asking questions? Why isn't he doing more?
He has no questions.
Yeah, yeah, he just sits there quietly, doesn't do a thing.
He doesn't even enter the plea properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it comes time for the plea.
Like, they would teach you that. Yeah, Come on, man.
Yeah, this made me a little crazy. Because the judge simply asked him, you know, how does your client plea? And he's like, well, you know, he did steal the can of tuna, but he didn't run. And he's like, no, guilty or not guilty, which is, and he's like, well, because he did it. Like, no, fucking just guilty.
You had your opportunity
or not
to say
guilty.
That.
Yeah. This isn't you're not on trial for the stealing the can of tuna. This is about murder. Did he kill them or did he not? That's all yes or no.
Well, it's not even that. It's do they say he killed them or do they say they didn't?
And it even gets to a point where he says, the only words I want to hear you say is either guilty or not guilty.
Yeah. Don't even want to hear you clear your throat.
And his response to that, of course, is, I get where you come from and everything.
Bam, like, contempt of court.
Yeah, fuck you. But,
you're going to jail.
So, yeah, he gets sent off to jail. He's, I think he's supposed to spend the night, but Demarissa Tomei bails him out.
$200.
Yeah.
But she found out that she was supposed to have made that money in a pool game.
Yes. She did make that money in a pool game, but the guy never paid up, so it's time to go collect.
So this is what Marissa Tomei is doing while he's studying or in court? Like, does this happen during the day?
I think she did that while he was going to jail.
Yeah. While he's being processed and whatever. Okay. And
so while he's going to jail, she's at a pool hall hustling money.
Yeah.
Which is fine if that's what she, if she's capable of doing.
Which also, yeah, what the hell? She can just, like, in the, what, 2-3 hours that he was going along or whatever, she was able to just hustle some guys.
A good hustler.
Doesn't take long.
Especially as attractive as her could do that.
Really. Yeah. Well, that's my point is more, she must be a good hustler. Yeah.
Well, you're not staying longer than an hour because at that point people know you're good. And then, like,
game's over.
Yeah.
Get in, get out. Yeah. I hope she dressed appropriately because she's wearing what she was wearing. She'd be sticking out like a sore thumb and be like, all right, she's from out of town. I don't trust her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she might have still been playing on the, you know, everyone thinks she's a dumb little girl. She can't do nothing.
Yeah, that's fair. Which apparently was true because they totally duped her.
No, she beat them.
She beat them.
They didn't pay her. And they're like, they were like, what are you going to do? Beat us up?
Start swinging that pool.
Dumbass JT did not know what he was getting into.
Yeah, so Joe Pesci rolls up to this guy and he's like, you know, you owe us $200. You better fucking pay up.
How about I kick your ass?
Yeah, a good counteroffer. I do need a good ass kicking, but I think I'll just take the money instead. That's a pretty good line.
Yeah, and basically just negotiate out that he'll fight this guy for the $200.
Yes.
Yeah. When he can prove that he actually has the $200.
So. Yeah, first he demands the guy show it off, and he's like, oh yeah, I got the money. He's like, well, show me it, and I can get the money. Like, well, you get the money, then we'll talk.
This guy's he's staring down Joe Pesci. I mean, like, your only response should be, I'm going to go get the money right now.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I mean, this is not Joe Pesci. This is Vinny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You this is a world where you have not seen The Godfather. Not The Godfather. Goodfellas.
Yeah.
So you're not, you know, you're probably just thinking, this is a short guy. He's dressed kind of funny. He's from New York. He might be a little soft. I don't care what
character he's playing. Like, you would never fight Sean Connery. He could be playing anything. Well, same thing with Joe Pesci. Or Clint Eastwood.
I would fight Sean Connery in Indiana Jones, though.
Really?
The old guy?
He still beat ass on some Nazis there.
Did he?
Inside the tank, he took him down.
Okay.
He's not, I mean, you know, like, you don't, I mean, you might start stuff with him, but yeah.
Brian, he'll use his left thumb.
That's not that movie.
It still applies, though. He still has that thumb. It's the same thumb.
All right. Enough of my meta argument.
Dude, he raised Indiana Jones, and he acts like Indiana Jones being Indiana Jones is like nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you think Indiana Jones is awesome, he's like, fuck that guy. I named him after my dog. Mm-hmm.
So he took the dog's name. Never mind.
So anyway, bottom line, JT totally misunderestimates this guy because he is like a foot taller than him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's got, you know, good. Well, the funny 50 thing is,
at this point, he's just sass talking him. Like, there's no fighting involved yet. He's just like, yeah, whatever. You're an idiot. I'll deal with you later when you have the money and you're actually a threat. And the guy's just like, okay. I guess I better get it.
In fairness, though, in real life, though, like, a little guy, a guy that's that much smaller than you and has no fear of you and is showing that much confidence, I wouldn't fight him.
Yeah, at that point, you should know something's wrong. Yeah.
That's the point, where, that, you know, if this is the animal world, that's where you're like, all right, he's got poison or something.
That guy didn't walk into this situation that cocky. Yeah.
Spines are going to come out of somewhere.
Without some kind of ace up his sleeve, yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of crazy how Vinny works this whole situation, because he turns it around to the point where this guy is like desperate to get the money just so he can fight him.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's being hustled.
Yeah.
I half expected it just
to be... He's being lawyered.
Yeah. He's being lawyered. I half expected the ending to be him just go, like, I finally got the money, like, here. And he's like, well, all right, let me count it. And when he gives it to him to count, he's just like, all right, see you later. And walks away. But it's so much better. But actually, the next scene here is what?
This is when both Vinny and Mona Lisa, that was her name.
Yeah, it was right?
Yeah. Mona Lisa, they just had an argument about nothing, just about a dripping faucet.
Oh, right. This
is not an argument, though. This is foreplay.
Yeah. That's.
This is bizarre as foreplay.
Well, I think that goes to the point I think Bill made earlier at some point where it's just like, these people live to argue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true.
And they indeed get off on it.
Yeah.
New Yorkers, they live to argue.
I'm not afraid to admit, Mr. Tomei was doing a great job here, and not as I'll turn on myself.
Mm-hmm. But then we go to the trial, and we see the prosecution's case.
Yes.
Which, the case is kind of circumstantial. I mean, like...
It's entirely circumstantial. All of it, like, no murder weapon, no prints.
Yeah.
I mean, there was prints in the store because they were in the store, but...
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it's built on that whole confession that was later recalled.
Yes.
Yeah, like...
Which, yeah.
Yeah, once that got thrown out, it should have started to unraveling the whole thing but...
Assumedly, somebody shot the clerk.
Mm-hmm.
The police was robbed, right?
Yeah.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
And these guys spent all their money on the food that they just bought. They didn't have any money on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were caught on the road. Like,
there's a few questions here, and this might be an editing issue, but like, it seemed like almost immediately after leaving, the cop was behind him, and like shortly after that, like actually turned on the lights and pulled him over and everything.
It wasn't immediately. They were down the road and they were like discussing stuff.
Well, it's the whole thing happened within a half hour of, and that's not hard to hear. Like, murder happens. You get some witnesses. They're like, what was he driving?
Yeah.
The car was this.
That's fair. Yeah, again, this is why I'm saying it's probably an editing issue, because it seemed to me that, again, we know from later on that the whole thing happened in about a half an hour, but it seemed like the cops were on their ass in like 5 minutes after leaving the store. So it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the biggest issue I have with another reason why it bothers me, like they didn't go through procedure and stuff, is that when he confessed to the crime he thought he was confessing to, they stopped looking for anyone else.
So this is our guy right here.
Yeah,
this is also where I thought it was a little weird, because his buddy, who, you know, is being held for as an accomplice, states, you know, oh, I didn't even know this was happening until we were in the car. And the guy asked him, well, why didn't you get out of the car? And again, because of the timing, it's like, when was he just supposed to tuck and roll and jump? Yeah. Like, what do you expect from this?
Yeah.
Like, so it's the whole thing is a little fishy.
If someone just murdered somebody else in front of you, like, I wouldn't trust their judgment. Like, if I tried to leave, they might shoot me.
Yeah, running out to get on the phone with the cops is not an easy thing to do.
But
well, that was me.
Oh, but I think this is also why Vinny feels so strongly that he can win this case.
It
appears that he's incompetent because he sees that this is not the strongest case in the world.
This whole movie is kind of like set up almost like an educational short from back in the day, where it's like you watch all of this happen, and then it ends with like, "How would you decide this case? Seeing the evidence, reviewing the data."
Well, the funny thing is, that actually almost works. As a, instructional tool, as it literally does, you know, some schools show this and whatever to learn legal procedures, but it almost works as, something that Vinny would have wanted, where he can see a court case without ever actually having to be in court. So it's funny that it kind of worked out that way. But
the scene transition here has an amazing line when this is when the judge waits till the end of the day to be like, what are you wearing? You know, what's up with that? And then, you know, because he's not wearing the suit.
Yeah.
And he's like, you were serious about that? And he's just going to jail.
Yep. He's in contempt again.
He just straight up didn't think the judge was that serious about it.
It's like he just stepped out of a biker bar.
Yeah, put a tie on at least. Like, get a tie on.
He found, like, the worst tie in the
world. His wardrobe is... interesting, shall we say. Like leather jackets, dark clothes, but weird patterns on all of it.
'90s New York.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I think that tie had cupcakes on it. Was that one?
I don't know.
No, it wasn't that because I would have noticed
it was clock faces or golf balls. Something round white objects.
It could have even been like clocks or something. It was something weird, but
dog testicles doesn't matter. Whatever.
Why you go to balls? Like what?
Anyway, yeah.
So when they're asleep. And, like, suddenly every animal in the world is making noise outside the hotel. It's like that slaughterhouse or something.
Yeah, yeah. It was a pig farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hotel number one, it was the steam whistle. Hotel number two, pig farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, feet away.
I don't quite get why they wake up at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning just to make these pigs go crazy. Like, it didn't look like they were really doing anything. And if you're gonna feed the pigs, you probably wait till later.
Well, most agriculture, horticulture things, you do start real early because you don't want to be out there.
Yeah, you start, but you don't start like herding animals when it's still dark out, typically, I wouldn't imagine. But
plus, in general, I don't know what kind of business we're looking at, and you know, all around. But this hotel
said pork products.
So. No, I understand, but this hotel has to run into this issue before.
Well, the hotel was owned by the same family.
Yeah,
was it?
And yeah, I think the point is
it was the same name on the hotel.
Everyone in this neighborhood just gets up early.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in this neighborhood, yes, but it's a hotel. Generally, if you're living in this neighborhood,
which is fine. We're all used to that. We're here.
No one ever visits this place.
Well, that's
4 a.m. right now, so we're all awake.
Yeah,
4 a.m.
Yeah, I'm ready to make some pigs squeal.
At 4 a.m.
Yeah.
four o'clock in the morning, a.m. in the morning. So he said 5 a.m. in the morning. That I hate that. That's one of my pet peeves when people say something a.m. in the morning. That's what a.m. means. I'm sorry. That's
like PIN number or ATM machine.
Yeah, if you say like 5 o'clock, that makes more sense.
Yeah. Mm. 5 o'clock in the morning.
But
any damn way.
That's all. That's my rant. This
is where we meet John Gibbons, the public defender.
Right. Ralph Macchio's friend decides to go with the public defender.
I mean, at this point, he still seems somewhat legit.
Yeah, he came in. You don't see much of what's going on, but he seems like a decent enough guy. But he gets up to trying to defend them, and he starts stuttering really badly.
Real bad.
Yeah,
it hurt me.
This is like, how did you make it this far?
Yeah, is this his first case? Because like,
right,
it's like, should he be allowed to defend people if that's his problem?
I would also question, as Rob pointed, I believe Rob referred to it more as his attitude, but I'd say it's almost deeper than that, and that this might not just be a stutter. There might be like some kind of Tourette's issue.
That was my original thought. I was like, does this guy have Tourette's?
Because he's like, he's stuttering and, you know, tripping over those words and then like starts slapping the table and whatever to get past them.
That's what you do sometimes. Yeah. So like you get angry that you can't say what you want to say. And then it comes out.
That is not something you want.
I stuttered as a kid. Attorney. I still stutter now. Like I had to go to therapy for it and stuff. Like you get frustrated. So when you get mad at yourself, that like, why can't I be normal and say shit like everyone else can? you get mad and you're like, you know, it happens.
I know. I get that's frustrated why,
like,
when people
like, it hurt me watching them because like I've done that. Like,
And you're not being normal frustrates me. I mean, it's all over. It's all over the place.
And the smell of all of you is hurting me right now.
Is it when he goes hunting with the prosecutor?
Which is weird. Like, I didn't know like you could hang out with...
You shouldn't.
I thought that would be a conflict of interest.
Would indeed be a conflict of interest. Like, really, that's really kind of...
I could see afterwards, but during the trial.
Yeah, maybe this is one of those things where it's such a small town that usually you know everybody anyway, so it's not such a thing, but...
Well, I mean, the trial hasn't really started necessarily, so I guess... And it's just, I don't know. I don't know if it might be okay for the lawyers because they have to share all the information anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
It felt like the prosecutor, he wasn't being a jerk. He's being genuine. Hey, you want to go hunting? Like, like it was just part of what they do. Like,
yeah, because since we didn't see that scene, I got to imagine it was just a standard hunting trip.
And that's one thing I like with this movie, with the character of Jim Trotter, is he's not a villain. He's a guy doing his job.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Because a lot of these movies will vilify the prosecutor.
Yeah, definitely.
And especially with this actor who generally plays kind of that dickish character, he could have been a whole lot worse.
Mm-hmm. And he was totally being, he was being a prosecutor for the right reasons. He was like, he even told his story. Yeah. He was like, I used to be a defender, and then I was tired of getting, you know, people that deserve to be in jail off. So, like, you know, I had a change of heart, and now I'm like, you know.
Yeah, my conscience got to me.
Are you shake weighting? What are you doing over there?
He's getting them off.
Oh. So shake weighting.
So yes. very much so.
But yeah, here's again where, like, I start getting annoyed with this movie with the, he just, you know, he's trying to schmooze this guy into giving up the information he has, who he, of course, he's just like, I'll share with you. That's fine because I have to. But, of course, Vinny does not know this at all, and he's, like, totally taken aback by it.
Which, like, again...
How do you not know about
this? Well, disclosure? I think law school will teach you that.
I think I know about that.
Yeah.
About that before the movie.
So did I.
Law school friends, write in. Lawyer friends, write in.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, certainly, if you want to...
I know lawyers.
But here's the thing. I have never gone to law school, and I knew that. He had not only gone to law school and graduated, but then spent 6 years studying for the bar. Somewhere in there, you would have found, discovered this information.
I imagine you know that because of this movie.
Marissa.
Still, he watches movies too. This is what I'm saying.
And Marissa Tomei found it out in like an hour.
Yeah, you come across this shit. It's not hard.
Well, she actually read the book that.
Yeah.
Which, for that matter, he was trying at least to read. Maybe he didn't get that far, but anyway.
Well, to be fair, he has been working all day and not sleeping at night, so, you know, he's tired, whatever.
No, but I mean, like, there was one point where they show him reading this book.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying. Yeah. Maybe he didn't get that far, but, so now he's on the hunt. He's going out, he's talking to all these witnesses, he's trying to find some information.
Yeah, he's hungry like the wolf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Prowl, he's after you.
What you call it? This, I think sometime in here he runs into JT again, who's like, I got you $200.
Yep. Oh, right. He's like, oh, really? Show me. And he pulls it out and he's like, showing him the wad, and he's like, how do I know that's not just a 20 wrapped around a bunch of ones? Like, all right, I'll get back to you.
at some point, around this time in the movie, Ralph Macchio's character mentions how, like, the reason why he's sticking with Vinny and not the other guy is because he sees through bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, that's like a gift he has. He was calling out a magician about all the bullshit that the guy was doing. And so when this scene comes up, you're like, he does see through bullshit. Like, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah, he's totally piecing this out.
Like, I like the...
Rob's dying.
Yep.
Oh. Can I have your stuff?
Nope.
You want to be slapped?
Nope.
Can I have your stuff?
I'm just going to call me in the room. All
right.
Oh, so yeah.
What was it when they go to Trotter's cabin?
Yes.
Yeah, because Trotter was super nice. He's like,
actually,
I have a cabin. You want somewhere to stay? You can come stay in my cabin out in the woods. Like, it'll be quiet. No one will bother you.
Yep.
And
this is another one of my favorite scenes, though.
Well, because he thinks it's going to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But, he gets out there, they're resting, they're about to have a good night's sleep, finally, when you hear screeching.
Well, this tiny little owl is making, like, the worst noise in the world.
This owl.
Yeah.
This owl.
Well, his this reaction is exactly how you think Joe Pesci would react.
He grabs a gun, he loads it, walks out the door, and just fires.
He puts on shoes, he puts on a jacket, but not his pants. It just opens fire on nature. And if he had one, this would have been like Bill Duke.
Exactly. With a mini gun. But this is a lovely shot too, because when you see him come out there, it's from the view of the owl who is making this horrible noise. He starts firing off nowhere near this owl. Now it just kind of looks back at him and like, okay, I don't know what's happening, but
it's quiet for like 5 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, just long enough for him to stop firing and go back inside. So him and Marissa Tomei decide to go sleep out in the car.
This works out so well for him.
Yeah. She's getting cozy with him and thinks it's all romantic. And
she's real excited about being in this
really
car.
Excited.
Oh, yeah. She is ready to go to Pound Town, but he's
not having it. She's ready to take the bar.
At least six times.
We're all adults. Until she passes.
But we start getting some rain and some thunder, and it's bad news. He's not having any.
I never understood why they parked in a field. Why couldn't they have just been on the road driving up to the cabin?
Yeah, or like.
Well, it's not. I don't know.
Because you're still in the woods. If you're
yeah. Well, but, yeah. I don't know if it was super clear of how, where the road to this cabin actually ends.
It didn't really say where they were as far as the field.
I'd be more scared in a car in the middle of the woods than in a cabin in the middle of the woods.
Well, here's the thing. It's the Midwest / South, so chances are it's either woods, field, or road.
But the field was in the middle of the woods.
Field might have also been in the middle of the road.
Okay. All right.
That's how it goes sometimes. A lot of those roads out there are dirt roads.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm going with,
those
maybe.
Are mud roads.
Yeah, correct.
This could very well be they were trying to drive up the quote-unquote road to get back to somewhere, but just stopped halfway there, and there was not actual road.
Beastmaster's dirt farm.
Mm. Yeah. But, so speaking of dirt farm, this rain sure makes a lot of mud.
Yep.
So in the morning, when he's frantically trying to get going, the car is not going anywhere. It's just spinning its wheel.
Which actually is important later.
It is very important. Yeah.
This movie does a good job with its foreshadowing.
Yeah, they take the time to show that the one wheel is spinning frantically and the other wheel is not doing jack shit.
Yeah, they don't... Unlike what movie was it we were the core one, where they force shit down your throat as far as
they might as well just say remember this for later
in this movie they don't do that at all they show you stuff for whatever and it's
good job. Here's a book that has our important codes in it and my baby's pictures because I'm not gonna die in a couple minutes.
I mean this is a legit just good movie they do a really good job
in it. It's a great example of using running gags to build off of and set up the next thing.
In an attempt to get out of the mud here.
Immediately goes wrong.
Yeah, he goes into the trunk. And this also kind of bugged me. He grabs a plank of wood and just rips it out with a bag.
Like a catapult.
Just flings it across the field.
Before that even happened, he had an immediate pratfall when he got out of the car.
Right.
Fell on both his back and his front. So he's kind of in Home Alone mode where he's just bumbling through. All this stuff.
Oh, he's not done bumbling yet.
Yeah.
So he flings his bag across the field, only to find out that it is, in fact, his suit that Marsutome cleaned for him, because she thought it'd be nice.
And left in the trunk for some reason.
Yeah, now it is covered in mud.
That's why they have those little handles that you hold on to and are like, oh, shit, when you think the car is going to crash.
Yeah.
Put the suit on that.
Yeah, that's what they're made for, but... Mm-hmm. Or why didn't you at some point take it out of the trunk and put it in the cabin? But anyway.
Either way.
So he is now muddy. They go back to town. They're looking to get the suit cleaned in a hurry, and he wants to get a shower. Mm-hmm. He sends her off to go get the suit cleaned. Well, he's going to take that shower. But first we run into JT again. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm fanning this out. Here's all the money. I finally have it. What are you going to do now? To which Joe Pesci just launches himself at him.
Now, what sound effect would you dub over this? Would you do Hadouken, Tiger Uppercut, or Falcon Punch?
I would do Eagle!
Yeah.
So, he throws the entirety of himself behind this punch.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe just the same noise that the screech owl is making.
Yeah. Just knocks this guy the fuck off.
Yeah, it's so much more than a punch. His chest just slams into the other guy's.
Oh, he gets a whole Joe Pesci in the face.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a punch that transitions to a tackle.
Yeah, knocks his ass straight on the ground.
But it's not even
just takes the money
and
walks
away. It's not even he's putting his arms forward and diving at this guy. He's sideways.
Oh, yeah.
He just launches himself at him.
His body is horizontal as he's going forward.
Because he had almost walked past him and then just, I guess, flung his hands up to punch him in the face and just let his body collapse on top.
He followed through with the punch to the maximum that you physically can follow through on a punch.
I like his buddy in the neck brace and everything. He's just watching like, okay, yeah. I'm not fucking around with that.
And honestly, though, with Joe Pesci's MO, this guy got off about as good as you can get off when dealing with him.
I do like the joke Pesci, well, doesn't make the joke, but the joke they use when he talks to the dude in the neck brace, he goes, how'd you do that? Did you hurt yourself here? Yeah. And the guy was like, no, somewhere else. Like, oh, I don't care what you did.
Looking for
he's an ambulance chaser. Yeah. So like,
was that home or was it somewhere else? Like, it was at home. Ah, damn.
So the only place in town where you can buy a suit is closed because of the flu.
Yep.
Because of the flu. I wish I could use that at my job.
Yeah, right?
And there's just a sign store on the door that says closed for flu. Mm-hmm.
I mean, in all fairness, like, probably there's only one worker there.
It is, yeah, it's so. Definitely one, yeah.
Well, it very well could have been more than one worker, but, like, they're probably such a close-knit group that literally they all got it at once. Like, the three people that work there are now all sick. Mm. So Marissa Tomei then has to go over to a secondhand store.
Yep. So cut to the courthouse. Everybody's waiting on Pesci to show up.
They're running late.
And here he walks in wearing a freaking Cesar Romero Joker costume from the 60s like Batman.
Crushed velvet maroon suit.
It might fit in like at a circus.
He should have a monkey. Like,
yeah, the circus definitely. This is like a bad prom suit.
Yeah, you need a corsage and a top hat and a cane.
An accordion, maybe.
Probably. It is quite ridiculous.
Yeah.
I want one.
It did look kind of like
you could pull it off.
Yeah, you'd rock it.
Rock that. You would make that work. But the judge is immediately like, what the hell are you wearing?
Yeah, Judge Munster is not buying this.
Well, this is pretty much, what you call it, Vinny at its lowest. Because, like, the judge is just like, you're in content. He's like, what else is new? He's just sulking there. And then he just goes, sits down and falls asleep.
It's kind of like me at work.
Yeah.
Just belligerent, like, talking trash under his breath.
And the minute that
pass out on a pile of boxes.
His head touches his hands, he's out. So the prosecution gives their whole statement, whatever, you know, this is why they're, you know, it's what they did, this is what we got, condemn them and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes to sit down, it's Vinny's turn. So he gets up there and he's just like, I just woke up. Fuck it. Everything that guy says is bullshit. Thanks.
Yeah. It's a great line.
It's great.
It is, you know.
Unfortunately, it's stricken from the record.
Which, except for thank you.
They could do that. Like his whole opening argument, he said, nah, don't count that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like, absolutely. Do it again. Like, yo, his whole.
I mean, as a juror, I don't know if I could do that, where they're just like, forget what he said.
Yeah, for real.
Like, he said it. Like,
that I never understood.
Well, the thing is, you can't forget it, but you can't take it into account when you're coming to your verdict.
Yeah.
Mm. But
so he proves that open statement to be true.
Yeah,
it's true.
This
when we get Mr. Tipton, the first witness.
Okay, right. And this is when he's talking about he was making breakfast when he saw them.
Yeah. He said it took about 5 minutes because he was using that to shoot down the fact that Vinny was arguing that it's possible that they left and then another car showed up.
And like you got a good view of them coming in, but not a good view of them leaving.
Yeah.
So maybe it was somebody else on the other end of it. And he's like, no, I was just making breakfast. And then, like, you know, so, oh, you know, must know it was only about 5 minutes. But I don't know about you, but it takes everybody else 20 minutes to make grits.
He goes off on these grits.
Yes. And yeah, this just.
Is mine. Perfect.
Goes into this whole tirade about, like, I guess the laws of physics don't.
Like, you could draw a Super Saiyan aura kitchen around him.
He was getting more charged as he was going. He's
like, I picture more like Vegeta using a gun, like,
yeah. And everyone went from, like, this guy's a joke to, like, holy shit. this got real.
At this point, like, he literally is in this guy's face and the guy is about to cry.
Yeah. Like, he's over 9,000 at this point.
Oh, yeah. Like, what, motherfucker, what?
turns out this guy might be a little wrong.
Yeah. Did you get your grits at the same place that sold Jack his magic beans?
get the laws of physics cease to apply on your stove?
So now he's starting to pick apart this case.
Yeah, that's when whatchamacallit, Stan just fires Mr. Gibbons and he's like, I want him.
Yep. And that's where this day ends, right?
Yes.
Other than Vinny going back to jail.
Yeah, he's like, don't bail me out.
Yeah. I want to be here tonight. I'm like,
I'm going to get some sleep now.
And what's funny is he's sleeping like right through like what sounds like a riot.
Yeah, but he's from
New York. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It makes sense. Yeah. It's like,
that's probably white noise.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
People noise? Used to.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's a duller, more consistent noise as well. It's kind of a different scenario. But he finally gets a good night's rest. But for some reason, kind of launches into a bitch fit in the morning. Mm-hmm. I forgot what causes this. This is when Marissa Tomei is showing him the photo.
No, that's not yet.
No?
Yeah,
no. This is when he comes out strong. Like,
yeah.
He comes out punching and just beats the hell out of the other witnesses. Yeah.
Okay, so this is first he gets the...
He ate his Wheaties and shit.
This is like he gets Dale Gribble or whatever.
This is like the climax of the movie, I would say.
We're getting close to it.
It's on the upside.
It's on the rise. We're at rise now.
If this were a sports movie, this is the part where the band The Misfits would be playing well together and be a montage of them winning for a while.
So granted, we have skipped over most of like Marissa Tomei's like great scenes and this like the whole hunting thing.
You beat me to it. I wanted to talk about her.
Please do,
like, no, because she legit is the smartest person in the movie.
Hands down.
But like her whole attitude is like, it's not like I know I'm smart, it's just I just am, I'm just being who I am. And it rubs Vinny the wrong way for a lot of it because she's fucking right, like all the time.
But she's just trying to help.
She's just trying to help.
And like, that's the thing. As we find out later, she is just trying to help, but he is just trying to win this on his own to prove to himself, if nothing else, that he can do it without help.
It's. I saw it as a whole male pride kind of thing. My pride needs me. And she's just like, I don't give a fuck about your pride. I'm fucking with you.
These kids are going to die.
It's like, killing her that she can't help.
And it was just amazing for her. Because like,
from the beginning, he should have just been like, honey, can you read this and tell me what's going on? When that judge gave him the book, because she would have been all over and be like, yeah, this is what we need. Let's get you a new suit. And boom.
My reasoning for skipping a lot of those scenes is I can't do them justice.
Well,
she's killing it.
Yeah.
And I totally get that. I didn't want to go into the scenes too much, but at the same time, it's worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Just because, it's really cool scenes of the movie.
Yeah. No, like I said before, all the scenes with her I loved, even as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because she was hot, but they're just cool-ass scenes. Even as a kid, I knew that. So.
This is also why we have the part at the end where we recommend it or not. Mm-hmm. Like this... spoiler alert, I will recommend because of scenes like that that you can't get from us here.
Mm-hmm.
But, we first get Dale Gribble on the stand.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, I definitely saw these guys or whatever. And he's like, oh, really? You saw them? Because looks like you saw them through these dirty windows.
Is it?
This shitty screen.
Just destroyed this guy's life.
Is it telling? There's leaves. There's hundreds of leaves.
Is it really telling that this, I think, is my favorite scene in the movie? Where he's just talking to this guy like he's a child.
He just shames him.
It's like, this is also like you at work.
The guy doesn't even realize that he's being shamed. He's like, well, I guess you're right.
Trees?
Yeah. In fairness, though, this guy shouldn't have said he saw it if he, all that shit.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what he gets.
Like, and that sucks that, like, even today, that really happens to this kind of stuff. Like, people who were nowhere near the area at the time were like, they heard the after effects of a crash. And like, oh, no, I saw the crash. Like, no, you heard the crash, then turned around. You didn't see the crash.
Right.
But this stuff happens all the time.
But they genuinely want to help.
Yeah.
And will lie and harm the process.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so Vinny was able to shoot this guy down.
I'm done with this guy.
Yeah.
I'm done with this one.
I ain't got no more use for this guy.
Yeah, I ain't no use for this guy.
Yeah.
Then he gets the little old woman on the stands, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
With her thick-ass glasses. And like, oh, really? You can see 100 yards away? Well, let's test that theory. And, like, grabs a tape measure, starts pulling it out.
Let the record show the defendant is holding up two fingers.
Oh, yeah. Judge! Oh.
He's like, oh, sorry.
But it helped, because he just held two fingers up again.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, apparently Joe Pesci ad-libbed the added line of "and Miss Whatever and only Miss Whatever." Yes. This time. But yeah, she wasn't able to see it 50 yards, let alone 100. Mm. So
not even yards; it was feet.
Feet. Yeah. I'm sorry. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So her testimony is shot now.
That's it. That shoots down all the witnesses.
Yeah.
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 Now we're just on the
automotive expert.
Yes.
Who shouldn't have been allowed to show up anyway, but whatever.
Right. And that's like, all right. So it's a surprise witness, which they're not supposed to have.
He gets like an ominous phone call from the prosecutor.
Yeah. But none of the information is shared. He's not allowed to. He's supposed to, by law, have time to.
Yes. Everything he says is true, but it is a thing of, like, he's supposed to be able to have these things so he can fight it, but it is at the discretion of the judge. And in this case, I thought it wasn't.
Well, I think at that point, like, you could probably get a mistrial.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Well, yeah. He should have been able to get a mistrial.
Or at least an appeal.
At least an appeal.
Because, I mean, he was just like, I had no time to prepare for this. I had no idea it's coming. He's like, Mr. Gambini, I don't give a fuck. He's like, that's a nice argument you made.
Yeah.
Very well put. Very well thought out, but I don't care. Yeah.
Thank you for being so polite and official, but fuck you.
Yeah.
So, the professional gets on the stand, and he's talking all kinds of business with the tires.
It's the Secretary of Defense from Independence Day.
Yes, this is our buddy here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we should toss in real quick that this entire movie, Vinny has been feeding the judge different aliases.
Oh, that's true.
That comes up now, yeah.
Yeah, to kind of cover his tracks.
Yeah, because like when he felt embarrassed about saying how long he'd been practicing for, so he lied.
Yeah.
And now people are looking into it.
Well, he told the judge that he was Jerry Gallo, who I guess died.
Yeah. And it's a minor thing, but I just wanted to bring it up, just kind of add to it.
What we did skip, though? We skipped the whole ute line.
Oh, the two
utes. Utes. Again, language. I thought he was going to hold him in contempt for that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I'm sorry, what's a ute?
you got an accent.
Two, what? Yeah. And then he's going, what? So Vinny doesn't understand what he's saying. I was like, what? What?
Yeah.
And as also I stated before, apparently this was a actual argument that between Joe Pesci and the director. So they threw it in. Or one of the writers, perhaps? Mm-hmm.
Sorry, two youths.
Yeah.
Youths.
they were trying to fill in the scene, and he actually had trouble understanding what Joe Pesci was saying. He's like, you know, let's use this.
So basically the whole point with this guy is like the tire tracks, he's saying, could only have been made by the defendant's car. Because he took a sample from the tire, he took a sample from the peeling out, and there. Identical.
See, but he never said only from the defendant's car.
Yeah.
Only from those tires.
Only from these kind of tires.
That were the defendant has,
That's where, like, that's the whole, like, you know, like, media, like, I'll just take parts of what he said.
And make
it's not like Batman where he's studying a soil sample and saying, oh, this came from the same junkyard.
Vinny does a pretty good job, even before the whole thing with Marissa Tomei, of, like, shooting us down. He's like, well, isn't that the most popular tire around?
Around?
Right.
The number one selling tire right now?
Yeah.
Or the number one size
tire? And the dude's like, well, yeah.
Lots of people could have those tires, so isn't it possible it could have been fucking anyone?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but like the same car? Come on, man. Like
Yeah, unbelievable, but still possible, and that's all he's gotta prove.
But Marissa told me to the rescue, being the awesome fiance trying to help out.
Just a little bit before that.
She took pictures and shit, and pictures, you know, he was making fun of her for shitty pictures, and all of a sudden he's like, wait a minute.
In fairness, he was on the clock because the judge tried to call him out. He tried to call New York to get the whole thing with Jerry Gallo sorted out. And then he's like, well, you got to stay of execution. You got to win this case in the next 90 minutes.
Yep.
True.
But then he sent him to lunch.
Yeah, and around lunch hour.
You're a dick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, while they're having lunch, he's looking over the photos and is just like, oh, yeah, this is really, really going to help here, honey. And totally pisses her off, so she takes off.
Oh, good, it's an upskirt to me. Good job.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, you cracked the case, honey.
Is this balls?
Looks like balls.
But she did crack the case.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She straight up did.
Yeah, when they go back in the courtroom, he's still looking over those photos, and he sees one of the tires, and suddenly something hits him. And which is also funny, because I gotta imagine, at this point, he somehow, I guess, knows enough about cars to know.
Yeah, he knew.
What he works in the shop, too. Yeah. But, so he goes, you know, like, oh, I got a surprise witness or whatever. I got somebody that can fight this expert with his expert and my expert and whatever.
Well, he also sends the sheriff off to find
out and about the car. Sends the sheriff off to check on this other car.
Shouldn't you do your job and, you know, keep investigating this?
And he's like, it's not my case.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's your thing. Why?
Yeah.
No.
Just assuming that these guys did it, and you're just calling everything else. Really?
Which goes back to why I was so mad. Yeah, exactly. Like, you just stopped looking for everyone else.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah, and if he had been looking, he could have been like, oh, by the way, there are these other two guys they caught.
Who have, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Who, you know what? Have the murder weapon.
Yeah. Like, oh, so.
Two counties over, whatever the hell it was.
It's like, oh. Somebody got killed on Christmas. It must have been Santa Claus. Yeah. For no one else.
Once he called in the question, once he realized it was a mistake about the whole, you know, confession thing, maybe you think they would go back to, oh, maybe we should look into a little bit more. Maybe.
Let's hold these guys and check some other people.
Okay. You would have a high bail, but you would not be about to be executed.
Just don't, until you find a murder weapon, at least, don't, you know. But, not calling anything off.
But whatever. The sheriff goes, he does find some more information. Marissa Tomei gets on the stand, and they're questioning her. They're testing how well she really knows cars, and she knows cars way better than any of them. And really puts them in her place.
Is it wrong that, like, when she gets mad, it's kind of hot?
It's real hot.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was the point. That's what they were going for. Yeah, again, speaking of, you know, their flirtation, that was a whole scene where I really thought the two of them were going to end it by just having sex there on the stand. <there. laughs>
Oh, but I love friggin' when Trotter's, like, tries to get her with the trick question, and she just destroys that.
So I don't even know if he realized it was a trick question, but she's just, slaps him down with, no, this is why I can't answer it. And if they were asking about this, then this would be the answer and blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, ratting off all these facts and figures and just totally shuts him down.
He looks at the car guy like, did I fuck up?
But, so Vinny starts asking her about the tires, and, like, he notices that they stay consistent on the road and whatever, and he's like, no, this car can't do it because it, you know, has a solid
suspension. It sucks too much to do that.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So they're like, no, there's only one other car that could be mistaken for this, that could have done all this, and sure enough, the sheriff happens to show up around now saying that they caught two similar-looking people in a very similar car, the same freaking tires, a couple towns over. Yeah,
made by the same manufacturer, so it comes in the same color.
Yeah. With a gun. So.
Yeah, at that point, everyone's like, oh, damn.
We may have fucked this up.
Yeah. And again, what I like with the character of Trotter, because, like, in other movies, like, the prosecutor would still be a dick and, like, make it go to the verdict and everything, and he's just like, okay, yeah, this is obviously not the right people.
That's it would be at that point where you'd, like, pull his wig off and throw it on the floor or something like that.
But, like, technically, did he win if the prosecutor just dropped all the charges?
That's a win,
yeah.
I mean, it counts as an actual win, like.
Yeah, I mean, a win's a win, I mean, if they dismiss it.
Winning factor is finding them not guilty, he is one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even if it had gone to, you know, deliberation, they still would have, you know, the evidence was overwhelming, and all of his circumstantial evidence was found to be circumstantial. I mean,
the way our justice system is set up, it is really hard for the prosecution to win. Like, it really has to be, like, there's no other explanation, at least in theory.
If it's being done correctly. Marissa Tomei gets off the witness stand, somebody wipes down the seat, and then the sheriff comes up and says, oh, there's a rigmarole, and
But yeah, so they've won. The kids are free.
The court goes bananas.
He's all happy and everyone's having hugging a great time, except now he's noticing the judge is getting some info. All
right, honey, GTFO.
Yeah, yep. Seriously. He is trying to be out.
Yeah.
I am hard as a rock, and this guy's about to come after me with a noose, so let's move it.
Yeah, Ralph Macchio's like, yo, oh, thanks. You know, you saved my life, literally. And he's like, I gotta go.
He's like, yeah, think about how you feel and tell me later. Write me a letter. Yeah. But and again, the prosecution is like, hey, man, you come back anytime.
Yeah.
You want to chat or whatever.
We'll go in the woods and kill stuff.
Exactly. We'll get a deer this time. Yeah. We'll blow his brains out, just like your girlfriend said.
Jeez.
She can watch.
But then, we find out, the judge does finally get to him.
Yeah.
He's like, you can't get away from Herman Munster. The guy's stride is 20 feet long.
He just walked over everybody else. Yeah. I finally looked up your name, and I just want to shake your hand because you're a great prosecutor or whatever. Attorney.
I love how Joe Pesci still plays this correct, though, where he's like, all right, it's good. I still got to fucking go. Don't question that. Just go.
Great.
A lesser man would have stayed behind and got pinched. What I find funny in this scene, though, that's a little awkward, is when they leave, it's like the rest of the supporting cast is just standing there on the steps. And it's like, Billy and Stan are there with, like, these people just tried to kill them, basically. Like, you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Well, I think at that point, they're just like, all right, where do we get our car?
Yeah.
Let's go. How much did you take out of the tires? Is this thing drivable? Or
Not like one thing, and it's minor, but it's like you don't even realize throughout the movie. But one thing is, why wasn't his mother there?
That's a good point.
She's a mother. She would have been in the car with Vinny when he drove down.
That is a very good point. I never really thought of, because it's like, oh, my son is going to be put on trial for murder.
She's probably just like, Mr. Miyagi will go.
Yeah.
He'll handle it.
I left him for several days in some stranger Asian guy's apartment, and nothing bad happened there, so he'll be okay.
And this motherfucker, as he's driving away, he's all sad because he's like, I want to win it by myself.
Yeah.
She's like, oh no, you have to say thank you to someone.
This might be a whole nightmare of having to say thank you to people.
And that's where the movie ends.
Basically where it's, where like they leave how they enter, just arguing with each other.
Yeah, arguing about their wedding, and how it's going to be.
That's
My Cousin Vinny.
You get some more very generic Southern rock.
My gosh, the Southern rock.
I think it was like a rocking version of like My Cousin Vinny. Like, it seemed to follow the plot pretty closely. Listen to the words.
Oh, I didn't
pay. I couldn't even do that.
I couldn't even attempt to listen to the words.
Who listens to words anymore?
So I always try to pay attention.
Except for our listeners to the podcast. Thank you for listening to our words. I appreciate you.
Thank you, everybody.
I just communicate with burps and farts and occasional grunt.
We know.
So that's My Cousin Vinny. All right. So on Rotten Tomatoes, critics gave this an 85%. Audience gave this an 87%. Which, by the way, I could be wrong, but I think this is officially our first rated fresh movie.
We did like Predator and stuff. Those are.
But I don't know if those got both sides that high.
Wait, what do you need for fresh?
I think in the top 80%.
Oh.
On both.
A top 80 or like over.
Oh, 50? That's right. Yeah, because it's not. Because they're rotten if they're under 50, right?
Yes.
Well,
they're just a tomato for a while.
Yeah.
And then they become fresh.
There's a variant system.
So I'm glad, certified fresh. But then if Predator didn't meet it, then obviously the system means nothing.
Wow.
You have a point there.
Yes.
Yep.
You can certainly argue that. But anyway, they cited, the pacing is brisk and the energy of the performance is so palatable that even in its silliest and most contrived, the film is enjoyable. Not palatable. No, it's not.
Who's responsible for that?
So, that would be Michael Upchurch of Seattle Times.
Dang, Michael. It smells like you've only been eating macaroni and cheese and mashed potatoes all week.
And pudding.
God damn, it smells in here.
So here's what happens when you're only allowed to eat food that you're mostly allergic to.
Anyway. Also saying, you might not remember much about My Cousin Vinny an hour later, but the cast makes the jokes, even the bad ones, go down easy, says Peter Travers of Rolling Stone.
Why wouldn't you remember it?
Yeah, I remember remembering a lot about this movie.
Yeah. Like,
right after first watching. It's very memorable.
Man, parts of it certainly are. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess there's debate over what versions we saw and so on, forgetting F-bombs and whatnot. But yeah, I certainly remember enough of it where that does not apply. But that is their personal opinion. So what is your personal opinion on this, Joe?
I mean, it's an awesome movie. I mean, Joe Pesci kills it. Marissa Tomei kills it. Supporting cast is all very good. I'm never bored. It has many memorable scenes. Brian pointed out a few things that I never realized, and I'm a little upset for myself for never picking those up. So the plot has some holes. But they're kind of like Spielberg plot holes where it's like, okay, I'll accept that because you got us somewhere awesome. Yeah,
it's nothing egregious.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, I think those ratings it has on Rotten Tomatoes are accurate. It's a very solid movie.
You recommend this movie?
Definitely.
Right. And Rob?
Yeah, I totally recommend this movie. It's great. It's legitimately a feel-good movie. Like, when you see the scenes of Marissa Tomei just being a badass on the stand and stuff, you actually, like, get pumped. And, yeah, no, it's a great movie. It does, like, the beginning is a little draggy, actually. Like, the whole part where they're like, getting the part where you get to the actual, like, Joe Pesci being awesome mm-hmm. can be a little slow.
Parts where Tomei is not in it.
Yeah, pretty. it's still awesome. Like, I could totally, like, anytime there's just, like, a rainy day and you're stuck in the house or whatever, it's a good day to watch My Cousin Vinny.
Brian?
This movie's awesome. I would tell everyone to watch it. Even though, like, one of the things I pointed out, which I don't think I said on so far, is, like, where's the kid's mom? Because she probably should be there for him being tried for murder. But, you know, whatever, you forget about it because you don't even think about it in the movie time. But she's not there, and his mom should be there. But anyway,
yeah.
Aside from that and some other little holes in the movie, whatever, it's fun as fuck. It's funny. Like, every character, not every character, but the main characters in the movie, like Marissa Tomei and Pesci, they kill it. Like, they're just awesome. Yeah, I would recommend watching it whenever you can.
Okay. Yeah, I follow suit with all you guys. I definitely recommend this movie. It's enjoyable. It is fairly brisk. There are some slower parts and whatnot, and, you know, maybe could have been edited down a bit, but whatever. It's fun. The acting's good. It's just, yeah, a good feel-good movie. It's an entertaining movie. And I think one of the better things I can say about it is it has those little flaws that you, about the mom and the poor police work. But the fact that Joe didn't notice helps prove my point of that is what you would call nitpicking. Or actually, that's even more major than that. But the movie is entertaining enough that you don't focus on that. And that's what a movie should do. Like, even if you have little mistakes, as long as the rest of it is good enough where you can look past it, then it's a good movie. And that's what this movie does very well. So, yeah, it's definitely a recommend for me.
I'm honestly glad the mom wasn't in. Because I think if she was, we'd have another Marissa Tomei-esque character in there. Like, another loud...
Oh, I don't remember the name, but I already know who would have played it, and it would have been terrible.
Like, like if the mother was anything like the other two Gambinis in the movie, then she would have been a character to herself and eating up scenery. So it's fine she wasn't in it. I'm just saying, like, it was just weird. Like, I noticed, like,
it is weird,
especially because there was nothing for her to do. But yeah, it is weird that she is absent when her son is literally days before death. But again, the movie was good enough that I think for several years of watching this, I didn't notice this until you brought it up now either. So yeah, good movie. So that is, I think, all around our recommendation since it's got kudos from all of us.
Yeah.
So what is up next, Brian?
It's that time for our D20 of Fate. All right, it's my turn to roll now. I roll my 20-sided die and see what comes up. Hoping for something good. 20.
Oh! 20. Oh, shit. Our first natural 20.
You got three different trumpets playing three different songs. It's so special.
You can choose.
What that means.
Two different movies.
What that means, now I get to pick whatever movie I want from wherever I want to, whatever I want. It can be a horrible movie, the best movie ever. So it's my choice. I rolled 20.
Not pornography.
Do you have to make the choice now?
I'm going to.
Okay. But in the future, do we have to?
Yeah, we should announce
I think we should. Okay. We can have on the air.
Good to know.
If you want to take a break so you can decide but before the we're done recording.
Yeah. We'll give you 3 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically. My choice, I mentioned it some in previous podcasts before, is Golden Child.
All right.
That's what I want to watch.
Excellent choice.
I love that movie.
Okay. Golden Child.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Eddie Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
I want the knife.
I said, I want the knife.
Please.
So, dancing Pepsi cans for all. What else do we have for them, Rob?
Well, in the meantime, you guys can, of course, go watch The Golden Child so you can follow along with us next week with that. But you can also email us with any questions, comments, name ideas for our turtle, or whatever at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. And you can also rate and review us on iTunes. That'd be super handy, or wherever you download the podcast. And, of course, you can also contact us on our Twitter and Facebook pages. And both of those, you can find us at 4ampodcast.
All right, and yeah, while we're at it, feel free to write in. Let us know of any movies that you know of that have serious plot holes or things you didn't notice because the movie was good enough. But that is all for now. We hope to see you, we hope you join us next time, rather, for Golden Child. Till then,
we want to see later. See you.
Adios.
I want to see your face.
Deuces.
I want to see your eyes inside my body.
I'm going home now.
I feel uncomfortable.
Everything he said is bullshit.
'Time I get the urge to visit my hometown. I'm sure that all my cousins will try to track me down. My heart says go, my head says no, it's best to stay away. But if I appear, I'm sure to hear all those jerk-offs say,
hey cousin Vinny, your cousin Vinny, is there anything that you could do for me? Hey cousin Vinny, your cousin Vinny.